to
Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, good evening, everyone. Welcome to episode 15 of BCR Radio. That is Black Conservative Republican Radio. And I'm your host, Randy Perham, with my lovely and beautiful co-host, April Perham.
Hey.
And tonight, I wanted to take a moment, actually, and send my heartfelt condolences and sympathies to the loved ones that might have perished. We don't know yet exactly. We just know that there was some debris found, but to the Egypt Air over there in Egypt, the plane that crashed there a couple of days ago. And we hope that find some resolution to that real soon. With that,
and I hope that it is truly just an accident and not something that was done maliciously.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, tonight we just found, well, I can say we just found out, but Oklahoma, the governor, Mary Fallon, vetoed the Senate Bill 1552 that would have, if it were passed, made it a felony for doctors to perform abortions and lose their license. And I'm glad that, you know, there was some common sense that stepped in and took care of that, because women have the right to choose, you know, selectively, you know. And I do believe in, I am pro-life, and I believe in abortion to an extent, and it has to be, you know, extreme circumstances, of course, not just arbitrarily because you were irresponsible and, you know, you decide
right.
All of a sudden.
Abortion is not a method of birth control.
Exactly. So, you know, I'm glad, you know, she stepped in and she cited that, you know, the state Senate and the House cannot arbitrarily try to override Roe versus Wade. So kudos to Oklahoma governor for using, you know, a pragmatic approach to taking care of that business, and I hope and pray that, you know, the state legislature there in Oklahoma realize, you know, that they can't go around doing stuff like that, you know.
Well, you know, honey, I'm actually curious, because how is it that as a doctor, if I was a doctor, how is it that I can be licensed to perform a specific procedure? And then all of a sudden the state law can say, hey, if you do this procedure again, you're going to be facing criminal charges, felony criminal charges. I think that was not very well thought out.
No.
Being that there are so many doctors that have gone to school, have gotten their license, and they are able to perform this procedure. So I don't think that went across too well with the fact that you know, hey, I can do this procedure, but now if I do it, then I'll be federally charged, or I'm sorry, not, it wasn't federally, but criminally charged by the state.
Mm-hmm.
The scary part about it is that it took the governor to veto it, which means that it actually made it through.
Yeah, the
House,
the state, yes. State House, the Senate, and everything. Yeah, no, I don't think, like you said, it wasn't well thought out. It wasn't well planned. I think they're just driving on emotions.
Yeah.
And they hurriedly put together a bill, and they rushed it through and was trying to do something unprecedented, because it's never been done before, you know.
Right.
So.
And it's never been done before, but at the same time, just because something has never been done before doesn't mean that you should rush through it. Because with that being said, it's kind of scary that it actually made it to where the governor had to veto it. I mean, I understand senators and the state representatives not wanting to, they're teeter-tottering back and forth because they're going to be up for re-election. So I understand them not really taking a firm stand because they don't want to hurt their numbers. At the end of the day, it's kind of surprising that it made it all the way to where the governor had to veto it. I mean, it was like one step away from being passed into law for that state.
Yeah, and I think it would have became very detrimental for a lot of practitioners in the state of Oklahoma if that would have came to fruition. So
I don't really think so, because I think as soon as it would have gotten passed through the state of Oklahoma, that it would have automatically went to the Supreme Court.
Yeah,
fighting Roe versus Wade.
Yeah, I think so too. Yeah, that's very possible. You're right.
I think that's also just a way of showing that times are changing and the mentality of the newer people coming into government or the millennials coming into government, they have a different mindset. And although you may think one way, it doesn't change the precedented cases that came before you, like Roe versus Wade, to where that would be unconstitutional. Can you give us a little bit of background about Roe versus Wade, please?
Yeah. It was basically a unanimous Supreme Court decision back in, it was the early 60s. I can't recall all of it off the top of my head right now, but summarily, it was a 7-2 decision. I do remember that much. And it was basically women do have the right to select whether or not, you know, they want to have abortion and whatnot, but
basically
freedom of choice. And with that, the Supreme Court did recognize the second and third order effects to that, so they did implement a subsequent law in the 90s to where once the mother hit the third trimester, they would no longer be eligible to have an abortion. So
is that because that's when they recognize a life?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, they recognize that there is a potential of life for the fetus
that can survive on their own.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So,
mm-hmm.
and that was the balancing effect to Roe versus Wade. So there, you know, despite, you know, oh, I should say, contrary to popular belief, how many people think, you know, a baby, an infant, a fetus, an embryo, whatever, a sack of tissue, whatever term you want to apply to a human life that is inside of you and is growing and manifesting to become a human being, is not a human being until they actually are breathing air and they're outside of the womb. It's not a human being, you know, that's totally false. From the moment of conception, that's a human being, you know, taking form. It's like
right.
It's like trying to say.
So basically, they put legal aspects on what they consider a human
yes.
being.
Yeah.
Because, like you and I, as soon as it's from conception, we believe that's a human. But they actually said, hey, from this moment on, where it's able to live by itself,
mm-hmm.
then that's where the law will protect it.
Yep.
And once again, people do need to understand that there's a difference between law and morals. Just because something is law doesn't make it moral. We like to have them hand in hand, but sometimes,
sometimes it's just, you know, application of common sense at the end of the day too.
Right.
So, you know, moving right along, I guess the United States Congress decided to have a little episode of House of Cards, season one, hint hint, Netflix. They had a little.
It's not coming on again until next year, so take time watching those episodes.
Yep, get caught up.
FYI.
Get caught up. The House Majority Leader, Representative Kevin McCarthy.
Republican,
not a Democrat. Republican out of California, excuse me. And other GOP leaders in the House on yesterday, actually took the time to force other Republicans to vote against protecting a bill to protect or to add, it was an amendment, to add the LGBT community as a protected class. And so
now that's interesting, because protected classes, those are the classes that, like, when you go to apply for jobs or housing or any type of benefits, these are classes that you cannot discriminate against.
Discriminate against.
So
yeah.
This bill was to
add LGBT.
Okay.
How can I say this? LGBT individuals to
the protected class.
To the protected class.
So that way you cannot discriminate based
off of if you're gay,
okay,
transsexual, transgender,
lesbian, right, okay.
So on and so forth, yeah.
Okay.
So they actually...
Can I ask a question real quick?
Sort of give a background.
Yeah, I know, but I just want to ask a really... I really want to ask a quick question.
Okay.
I'm sorry, babe.
Okay.
So I understand the law not to, you know, to discriminate against them, which... Okay, I totally agree with, you know, equal rights. But how will we know that they were part of this community if they just came in, unless they applied for a job or some benefits? How will we know that?
Good question. I mean,
they would have to disclose that to us, correct? Because otherwise we wouldn't know.
Not to us, but, yeah, they would have to
whoever.
Disclose. Yeah, they would have to disclose that information.
So if they didn't disclose it, then why do they need to be protected?
Well, you know, it may come
to light.
Why
does it need to be disclosed at all?
That's true. It may come to light, you know, through...
If it comes to light, that's after the fact.
That is true. But, you know, there are a majority of the states in the United States are adopting, you know, right-to-work laws. So you can be fired for whatever reason that an employer deemed to be fitting for that company.
Yeah,
so.
But you can be fired for something that's not a protected class, let alone something that is a protected class.
That's true.
So with that being said, I mean, I'm just, you know, not to take off of what you're about to say,
mm-hmm.
I just think that LGBT, I'm not taking away from their movement at all, but understand their movement is something that if you don't disclose it, no one will know unless you want them to know or you put it out there.
But I can also understand the need for it in a way.
And why is that?
Well, let's take same-sex marriage, for
mm-hmm.
example.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have a company picnic, and I bring my husband or my spouse or my significant other that's the same sex to the company picket, and I introduce him as my significant other
mm-hmm.
or my partner,
mm-hmm.
you know, that may, in that kind of culture or in that environment where they may not, you know, be open-minded to that, that may, you know, cause some kind of hostile work environment, you know.
And, you know, in that case, I do believe that they should be protected,
yeah.
Because, understand, if I already had this job and I'm not, my work is up to par, I'm not doing anything subpar,
yep.
Then if you want to fire me just because you now know my sexual preference, then yes, I believe
there should be an issue.
Issue.
Yes.
However, I don't believe that it meets the guidelines of something that should be a
protected
class. That's the
absolutely,
difference.
Absolutely, absolutely. And it goes back to, you know, let me cover the bill real quick.
Okay,
the amendment. It fell short by one vote in the House on Thursday, and that was due to some trickery, if you will, by the GOP. They went around and they whipped votes and. And it was up to 2:17, and they actually extended the voting time because it was supposed to be for 2 minutes.
Babe,
go ahead.
Before you say trickery, and I know you're going to give me something to just totally blow out of the water what I'm about to say, but before you say trickery, honey, I'm sorry, the Republicans did their job. And they whipped the votes that they needed to do. They whipped the votes that they needed and said this is not going to pass. So
yeah.
I'm not going to say it was trickery. I'm just going to say that they weren't prepared before the vote came to a vote.
Yeah.
But what they saw that was really going to
come
to vote, they were like, whoa, before you cast your vote.
They extended the vote was supposed to only last for 2 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And they extended the vote for 8 minutes. And, you know, like...
So they pulled a, who's my guy? Kevin Spacey.
Oh, Frank Underwood.
Francis. They pulled
Francis
a Francis?
Underwood. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Oh,
so,
okay.
But anyway, they, that was the result of that. The bill, the amendment proposal did die in the House, so...
But I also heard, before it just died, that there was an uproar.
Yeah, it was an
in
uproar.
In the House, like they were shouting.
Yeah, it was an uproar in the House, out I would love to have been a fly on the wall to see that, though.
I think the Democrats, because apparently whatever was going on, we weren't there, but I wish I was there. I really wish that was one time that I was there. But apparently they saw them going from person to person and telling them,
hey, you need to change your vote. Yeah.
And so apparently the Democrats started shouting.
Yeah, and they targeted the more junior members of the House. So,
well, from what I read, they said the Democrats were making statements saying that
they should be ashamed.
That's what they were shouting. But from what I read, they were saying that Republican Kevin McCarthy was basically twisting people's arms, saying, "Hey, you need to vote this way."
Mm-hmm.
And so they started shouting like, "Shame on you! You should be ashamed of yourself," or whatever else. Can you imagine? Remember, you posted just a few weeks ago, I think it wasn't British. It was maybe it was the Turkish government and their house where they started the fight, the brawl.
Yeah, that was, I can't remember what country that was.
I think it was Turkey.
It might have been Turkey. I can't remember now. But yes, yeah, it almost came to fisticuffs in there. So. It almost got violent. You know, C-SPAN would have actually been an entertainment, channel for the day. But, you know, back on a serious note,
But one vote, that's not that many.
No,
it almost passed.
Yeah, it almost passed. And I would like to look at it from a second and third order effect of if it did pass, if the LGBT community did become a protected class. And now this would have.
I don't want to touch that.
No, I want real briefly.
There's so many people who can just say, you know what, you fired me because I'm a member of LGBT, and if there's no voter registration for LGBT, then people just start saying that hey, you fired me because I'm gay, and you're like, dude, you were just married to a man like last year. How did I know that? And Dave, I'm only saying that because.
Yeah, it would have been.
People can use that to their advantage.
Yes, it would definitely been a catalyst for some mayhem on the legal spectrum. But you know, in addition to that, though, and I talked about this on Facebook the other day, and a lot of people kind of got upset with me about it. And just for the record, I don't give a damn. But anyway, seriously, everybody thinks that I'm anti, LGBT, and I am totally not. And those that are LGBT in that community and are friends of mine and that I work with and everything, we have a lot like that. And they understand and they know my position on it. And just like as I don't impose my beliefs and views and values on them, I wish the same in return. You know, it's a reciprocating thing. You do what you do behind closed doors, in your business, in your circle. That's you. I do what I do in my circle.
I can honestly say that one thing that we also do, and this is not whether you're LGBT or whether you're heterosexual, homosexual. It doesn't matter. The point is this: the public is nowhere for privacy. Now, I know that people are like, oh, that doesn't make any sense. No, it does make perfect sense. When you're in public, whatever you do in public should be your public life. Whatever you do in private should be
your private life. Yeah.
And so we don't believe in public displays of affection.
You don't. I always be trying to kiss you. I always grope you.
Yeah, no, not in public.
I do it,
stay off my butt. No, stop. Stop smacking it. No, stop. That's not where it's at. Because in public, you never know who's watching. You never know when there's kids around.
That's how they got here. They got to learn sometimes.
You know what? Stop. Just stop. That brings me to the other day when I went to one of our children's concerts, and there was a couple sitting right in front of me, and it was literally an elementary school concert, and the couple sitting right in front of me, they were basically making out while the kids were singing the Star Spangled Banner and whatever else, and I was so irritated and so annoyed, because I was like, really? You're kissing at a child's concert? You're hugging and, like, tonguing each other down at a child's concert? And I was like clearing my throat, trying to give him
I probably would have slapped him upside the head if they was doing.
No,
that,
according to you, you'd be doing the same thing.
Yeah, but not during the start, not during the singing of the national anthem.
Okay, honey, it was the whole concert.
Yeah,
it was the whole concert, honey. No, not at a concert. You're going home with each other.
But I want to capstone this topic with, you know. We have to be careful as citizens, as a society in whole, on what we advocate for and understand the propensity for, you know, what's to come.
Right.
You know, and I'm all for equality, treating each other with, you know, with human decency and everything else. But in the same token, we have to, you know, take everything with a pragmatic, common sense approach.
Exactly.
I had to tell some people, you know, I said, okay, we're pushing for, like, the usage of bathrooms, you know, transgenders.
Right.
Trying to
utilize
bathrooms. If I feel like a girl today, you know,
exactly.
I'm going to walk into a woman's restroom. If I feel like a boy today, you know, if I identify with this, we have to stop with that. You know, we have to take a moment and, you know, say, okay, I got it. You know, this is what I may be feeling, this and the other. However, there are other people that may not feel or view these things, and it was set up for, you know, okay, I like to sleep with animals, you know, so I deserve rights.
Ugh.
I have my rights too, you know. If they have their rights, you know, I want my right to sleep with my pet.
Okay,
goat.
That's enough.
No,
honey,
but that's what the,
no,
that's
honey,
where it's going to come
what?
To. Though.
I do have okay. Unfortunately. I do see it coming to that, but the difference that I can say with the animal thing is that an animal does not have a voice to make a choice. So hopefully it'll never come to that. And even if it came to that, because even if you teach your parakeet to say yes, doesn't mean that it makes it okay. So I'm just saying, I don't agree with any of that, I'm just saying that just because they say yes, you train them to say yes, doesn't mean it's okay. But one thing that I do want to say is that, now listen to this. I want to tie both of these subjects back to the re-election, or not the re-election, but the election to someone to the Supreme Court.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why I say that is because we just mentioned in Oklahoma what's going on with the abortion, okay?
Right.
They actually had to be vetoed by the governor.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're talking about the LGBT rights,
yep.
And this was a federal case, and they only lost by one vote,
mm-hmm.
which means that if they did not lose, it would have been a tie vote, which either the president would have had the right to veto it, which we know under this administration it probably wouldn't have been vetoed since the White House has been lit up in rainbow colors and stuff like that, but then it would have went to the Supreme Court. So now, with that being said, that says a lot about the people that are voting in today's time, that we are becoming more tolerant and more accepting of these different views. Like,
life,
we are,
lifestyles.
Yes, it's like a pandemonium shift that's going on.
Paradigm?
Is that a
there you go.
Is that a better word? Okay.
It could be a pandemonium shift.
Pandemonium, exactly. It could be.
It's going to get crazy.
It will.
Yeah.
But we're so close to being deadlocked to where we were actually deadlocked, and it took the governor to veto something, and we were almost deadlocked in the federal government, that this is why we can't have 4-4. We need a deciding vote. Now,
in the Supreme Court, yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So I do understand why we want more of a conservative judge to kind of keep things the way that it's been. But if we get someone who's more of a liberal, this can change life as we know it.
Yeah, it's true. It is true. It is what it is. And, you know, really, yeah. I mean, I was going to say, maybe, you know, we'll get a chance to see how things will unfold, you know, over the next 20 or 30 years, because that's when you'll really realize the effects,
right.
of what has taken
decisions,
place.
Right.
Yeah. So,
the thing, though. So, with that being said, which we don't realize, you know, the effect that we've had on the economy or in life, for 20 to 30 years. That even goes to show, like, with who we elect as our next president. And right now, you know, we have the two candidates up there, you know, basically Hillary. She pretty much assumed the fact that she's going to be the Democratic nominee.
Yep.
We know that Trump is the Republican nominee for now, and I'm saying for now.
For the most part.
Yeah, and I'm only saying for now or for the most part only because...
He's the only one running.
Pretty much, but we don't know what they have up their sleeves, and hopefully it's not something fluky, but okay.
Somebody's going to come in and whip the convention.
They're gonna, and guess what? The whip is going to become the president, like House of Cards. You know what?
Wow.
It's going to be...
Very good. That's a nice, that is a nice prediction.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
You heard it first here on BCR Radio.
Yeah.
But anyway. with that being said, with Trump, he got a major endorsement. Like.
Yep.
The NRA.
The NRA endorsed Trump today.
I don't even know when he was a part of the NRA, if he is. But
yeah.
Okay, that was a major endorsement.
But that's that just created a huge boost for him in terms of those that might have been teeter-tottering the fence for him.
Right.
So everyone that's in the gun community now, they may now lean towards him.
That's
now.
True. You're right.
And just for the simple fact that
NRA came out.
You know, Wayne LaPierre came out and said, you know, hey, this is a great guy. You know, this is who we want.
In this case, it's really not what you know, because we don't know what he knows.
Exactly.
It's who he knows,
yeah.
And the NRA endorsed him.
Yep. And so
brought
him on board, and now, you know, a lot of gun lovers, you know, whatnot, you know, if they follow and, you know, they back the NRA really closely, they tend to, you know, on a legislative perspective, they tend to run with what's being done.
What's being pursued by their
by the leadership.
Special group, their special interest group. You're absolutely right.
So,
that was a major endorsement because I really can't recall Donald Trump ever being
pro-gun
or pro-Second
Amendment.
Nothing.
So,
but for him to get that endorsement, that's like literally free advertisement for him because they're going to push
vote for
Trump.
Yeah, and that's pretty much putting the nail in the coffin for his nomination. So we'll see, you know, we'll see in a couple of months, you know, when it gets to Ohio.
Well, one thing that I want to say, with the NRA endorsing Trump, this is kind of off the subject, but there was a rumor that was circulating through media, social media especially, about the auction of the gun that killed Trayvon Martin.
George Zimmerman.
Well, that's not the rumor because George Zimmerman really did put the gun up for auction.
Yeah.
But the rumor that was circulating was that rapper
Kendrick Lamar.
Yes, rapper Kendrick Lamar bought the gun and destroyed it. I just want to let everyone know, before you start believing something, please do the
research.
That's not true.
It is not true. We say
it
again.
It did
Kendrick,
not happen.
Kendrick Lamar.
So with that being said, please do your research, and the Earth is not flat. Just want to say that.
And there are pictures, real pictures of Earth. So.
Of Earth.
But anyway.
All right. LOL, if you guys have been following Randy, you know where that comes from.
Yep. Anyway, so go ahead and close the show out. I want to thank everyone for tuning in tonight and listening, and I hope you enjoyed the show. You can follow me on Twitter at rperm. You can follow me on Facebook, Randy. You can send me an email if you like, you know, ask questions, you know, get some thoughts, you know, whatever the case, at rperm@gmail.com. And you can go by Amazon and pick up my book, The New You Now, Quick with Wisdom. And it's in ebook format. And with that,
I really encourage everyone to pick up their book, The New You. It's an excellent read, and it's easy to understand for anyone who does not know what to do next in their life or if you're unsure, especially for high school graduates. So that's a great, excellent read. And I'm not just saying that because he's my husband. I actually read the book and helped write it. But anyway, it is what it is.
And with that being said, I want to say good night, and thank you for tuning in once again. We'll see y'all next week.
Thank you. Good night, America. See you next week.